Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Uncertainty Continuing in Pandemic by Ruth Campbell. As the COVID-19 pandemic rages on, local psychiatrists and counselors say there are indications of some lingering effects, such as anxiety, depression, and uncertainty. We are finding that many of the reports that come in are indicating some cognitive problems with memory, focus, and attention, and some depression, said Dr. Shailesh Bobby Jain, professor and regional chair of psychiatry at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. It is not clear whether these individuals have a pre-existing condition that got exacerbated or have a new condition that is solely from the infection. We do know that folks who have struggled with COVID infections tend to take a prolonged period of time to come back to baseline, Jane added. Dr. Zarshana Khan, a second-year resident, said that she has noticed they are seeing a lot more patients with depression and anxiety, and it's not just adults, it's also children. Having children at home taking classes virtually is a stress on mothers. In addition to staying home for school, Dr. Sharman Nabi said the child is not going outside playing with their friends. That is making mothers stress out, and they are coming to us for depression, Nabi said. Khan said there is definitely a possibility of isolation affecting conspiracy theories. She noted that even though a vaccine has been developed, there is still a lot of uncertainty about a lot of things, which could be contributing to people buying into conspiracy theories. Dr. Nancy Madia said for people who are working at home or students who are at home, try to keep a schedule. Once you get off schedule and you're out of your routine, anxiety has a chance of becoming more distressing, Madia said. Eden Simmons, a licensed professional counselor at Odessa College, said she was offering counseling sessions by telehealth and telephone even before the pandemic, but it has picked up a lot more. But right now, I offer in-person with masks, social distancing, online for telehealth and then phone sessions, so the student gets to pick just based on what works best for them, Simmons said. She said there are a variety of issues that she's seeing in students. Things that I have seen more recently, like I was talking about, that looming sense of uncertainty, and with our students, there's a lot of concern about the job market and job insecurity. And some of that is geared toward themselves because, like I was saying, a lot of them are part-time. Part-time workers are usually the first ones to get their hours cut, so that's a bit of a stressor. Then I also see a lot of stress around family members like spouses and parents losing work and the uncertainty there. Then also just a lot of concern about family members and COVID and being safe while we're also trying to balance being out in the community and get our economy going. I think a lot of our students are also struggling there as well, Simmons said. She added that this is a unique situation and not something that therapists are trained for in school. We get trained for crisis work and like a natural disaster, and that would be about the closest thing I can compare this to. But like I said earlier, the duration, how long this has gone on, is really unique, being a collective stressor. That's something I don't think most people have seen in our lifetime, Simmons said. Simmons counsels early college, high school, and dual credit students. Asked if some of those students have gone backwards socially, she said it depends on the person. It's so individual, but like I said, if prior to the pandemic you had a tendency to be more isolated and less social, this has definitely exacerbated that. It's more socially acceptable to do that right now. So again, it's just really important to find those opportunities to stretch that social muscle for those students and kind of get back out and do things, she said. She added that there's no real substitute for face-to-face interaction. I've definitely seen some students really struggle with the lack of normal routine. Prior to this, we had lots of activities on campus for students and opportunities for them to get together outside of class. It is a little more limited the way we've been having to do things this year. Then again, I know a lot of the families of our students really want to try to minimize their risk and their time out in the community. That also kind of limits the social opportunities outside of school, Simmons added. Local news roundup. Empty Bowls fundraiser. West Texas Food Bank has scheduled 2021 Empty Bowls fundraiser from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at the new Innovative Gardens at the Midland facility, 1601 West Cliff in Midland. Tickets are $15 per person and includes the handmade ceramic bowl. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/Y3GRVQSY. Bustin' for Badges. Bustin' for Badges has scheduled the 2021 Clay Shoot fundraiser benefiting local law enforcement April 15th and 16th. Registration is now open for sponsorships at bustinforbadges.org. Obituaries for Sunday, January 24th. Michael Arthur Hansen. Michael Arthur Hansen, 61, passed away January 20th. He was born in Beaver, Oklahoma, March 2nd, 1959. He moved to Odessa in 1967. He is preceded in death by his parents, Wendell Hook and Phyllis Hansen, and a niece of San Angelo. He is survived by his sisters, Jane Cox and husband Gary of San Angelo, Barbara Smith and husband Sam of Odessa, brother Lee Hansen of Odessa, several nieces and nephews. At his request, there will be no services. Family and friends will gather at a later time. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Adelina T. Carrasco. Graveside services for Adelina T. Carrasco, 80, of Denver City, will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, January 26th, in the Denver City Memorial Park, with Reverend Roberto Diaz officiating under the direction of the Ratliff Funeral Home of Denver City. Adelina passed away Friday, January 22nd. She was born February 12th, 1940, in Valle de Zaragoza, Chihuahua, Mexico, to Pedro and Josefa Rodriguez Torongo. She married Manuel R. Carrasco in 1963 in Ojinaga. Adelina was preceded in death by her husband, Manuel R. Carrasco, a grandson, and two brothers and four sisters. She is survived by two sons, Rogelio Carrasco and his wife, Gloria, Ramiro Carrasco and his wife, Santiago, a daughter, Noemi Sotelo, and her husband, Enrique, all of Denver City, two brothers, five sisters, along with seven grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. A special service will be held Monday, January 24th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. in the Ratliff Funeral Home Chapel of Denver City. Virginia La Chicken Gomez Garcia. Virginia Gomez Garcia, 75, of Odessa, passed away Saturday, January 16th. She was born in Fort Stockton, the fifth of 13 children, on July 15, 1945, to Manuel Martinez Gomez and Rita Pacheco Gomez. Virginia is preceded in death by her parents, Manuel and Rita Gomez, her husband, Frank Garcia, two of her sons, Rudy Garcia and Jerry Garcia, and five brothers also preceded her. Julian Gomez, Robert Gomez, Sr., Daniel Gomez, Samuel Gomez, and Raimundo Gomez, and two sisters, Margarita Baker and Janet Gomez. She is survived by three sons, Roy and wife Rosa Linda Garcia, Frank and wife Anna Garcia, Juan Manuel Garcia, all of Odessa, 8 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, a sister, Rachel Romero of San Diego, California, and brothers Ventura Gomez of Chula Vista, California, Bartolo Gomez Sr., Joel Gomez, and Reynaldo Gomez, all of Odessa. A memorial service will be held Saturday, January 30th at 10 a.m. at Life Challenge UPC. Linda Gail Edwards. Linda Gail Edwards passed away Monday, January 11th in Crane. She was born August 17th, 1943 in Idabel, Oklahoma, to Laverne and Douglas Hoffman. She married Cliff Edwards in 1960. Linda is preceded in death by her parents, Laverne and Douglas Hoffman. She is survived by her husband, Cliff Edwards, a daughter, Samantha Bankhead, son, Lance Edwards, and his wife, Jency, sister, Patricia Hayes, and husband, Irvin, and sister, Susan Strang, 2 granddaughters and a grandson, and several nieces and nephews. A memorial service is scheduled for January 30th at 3 p.m. at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Crane. Everyone is welcome to attend, but a virtual option will be available via Facebook Live. Aloma Gail Gray. Aloma Gail Gray, 77, of Odessa, passed away Wednesday, January 13th at Medical Center Hospital. She was born July 19th, 1943, in Grayville, Illinois, to the late Robert L. Tidwell and Imogene Sexton Hulsey. She married Milam B. Gray in 1969, and they had been married 26 years at the time of his death. Gail is survived by a daughter, Tammy Barnett of Odessa, and a son, James Albert Gray, and wife, Beth, of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. She is also survived by 2 grandchildren and a brother, Gary S. Tidwell. In addition to her parents and husband, Gail was predeceased by a special companion, Tillman Pee Wee Perry, and a sister, Gwyn Harwell. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday, January 25th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home in Odessa. Graveside services will follow at 3 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens. In lieu of flowers, memorials in Gail's name may be made to the charity of one's choice. James DeWitt D. Kendall. James DeWitt D. Kendall was born September 25, 1934, in Kaskilla, Mississippi, to Joel and Lenora Kendall. He married his first wife, Faye Good, in 1951. D. is survived by his sons, James Glenn Kendall, Gary DeWitt Kendall and wife Anna, and Gregory Duane Kendall, daughters Danita Gail Bohannon and husband Frank, Deborah Gay Avalos and husband Raphael, stepchildren Teresa Ann Absher and husband Jerry, and Larry Jean Hines, half-sister Beverly Jean, 14 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren, and numerous extended family. He is preceded in death by his parents, Joel and Lenora Kendall, a daughter, Glenda Faye Morris, a son, Jonathan Gray, sisters, Catherine, Robbie, Bessie, and Billy, brothers, Cecil, David, Daryl, Larry, and Johnny, a stepson, Randall Hines, as well as a grandson and a great-grandson. Visitation will be Thursday, January 28th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Funeral services will be Friday, January 29th at 10 a.m. at Hubbard Kelly with Mike Bartlett officiating. Graveside services will be Friday at 2 p.m. at Robert Lee Cemetery. Death notices. Alberto Velasquez Alvarez. Alberto Velasquez Alvarez, 59, died Tuesday, January 19th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel. Judy Ann Harmon. Judy Ann Harmon, 75, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 17th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Maria L. Cadena. Maria L. Cadena, 90, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 14th. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Monday, January 25th at St. Elizabeth Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Peaceful Gardens section, with Father Mark Woodruff officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Amelia Ibarra Cisneros. Amelia Ibarra Cisneros, 93, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 17th. A funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 26th at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Visitation will be held Monday, January 25th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Burial will follow the funeral service Tuesday, January 26th in the Ector County Cemetery. Juan L. Ice Cubes Lara, Jr. Juan Lara, Jr., 56, died Tuesday, January 12th. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jack Lawrence Melvin. Jack Lawrence Melvin, 39, died Tuesday, January 19th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Knock Trom T. Gwynn. Knock Trom T. Gwynn, 73, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 19th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Julie Ann Thompson Preston. Julie Ann Thompson Preston, 79, of Midland, died Monday, January 18th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Terry Lloyd Stewart. Terry Lloyd Stewart, 82, of Alpine, died Wednesday, January 13th in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Carolyn Jones Thornton. Carolyn Jones Thornton, 89, of Canyon, died Saturday, January 23rd. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Brooks Funeral Directors of Canyon. Leonard Ray Walden. Leonard Ray Walden, 84, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 17th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, January 25th. City, hospital, work together. Some issues during the first day, but mostly smooth. The story was written by Federico Martinez. They came seeking hope and protection, a vaccine they pray will save them and loved ones from a deadly virus that has already stolen the lives of hundreds of thousands in the U.S. during the past year. About 3,000 people on Sunday showed up at Ratliff Stadium for the first day of the mass Pfizer COVID-19 vaccination effort that was scheduled for 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Quote, "I was really lucky. I was the first car to get waved through the gate," said 55-year-old resident Joe Light, who was among a handful of people who arrived at the stadium by 4:30 a.m. Quote, "I'm diabetic, so I really wanted to get a shot. Plus, although I'm kind of a homebody, I just want to get out of the house again. I want to spend time with friends and family again." End quote. By the time Light's vehicle entered the stadium at 9 a.m., organizers were already posting on social media and asking the gathered news media to urge the public to stop showing up. Demand was already outweighing the ability to distribute the vaccine. Quote, were set up to give 1,000 to 1,200 shots per day, City EMS Chief Rob Huber said. We'll give vaccines until 3 p.m. and then resume at 9 a.m. Monday. At some point this afternoon, we'll have to shut the gates and people will have to come back tomorrow, end quote. By 9:30 a.m., law enforcement officers were already telling people waiting in line to go home and try back another day. Medical Center Health Center President and CEO Russell Tippin said the hospital last week received their first weekly shipment of 3,900 doses of the Pfizer vaccine and will receive an additional shipment on Monday. Up to 1,200 vaccines will be distributed 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mondays through Fridays at Rattler Stadium, Tippin said. The tentative plan is to continue the mass vaccinations through February before offering shots at Odessa Regional Medical Center and various clinics throughout the county. The daily mass vaccination effort requires the help of hundreds of healthcare workers, law enforcement officers, and community volunteers. In order to not overwhelm workers, the vaccinations are being conducted in six-hour blocks, organizers said. Tippin and Huber acknowledged some people were complaining about the long lines and waiting times, but they said that the mass vaccination plan being followed is the quickest and most efficient way to reach the largest amount of people. To speed up the process, the public should pre-register online at https://secure.echd.org/QDREGVAX/default.aspx, Tippin said. The pre-registration link is not for setting up an appointment or a specific date and time to receive the vaccination. It's a pre-registration tool that will speed up the process of administering the vaccine. People who don't pre-register prior to arriving at the stadium will be rerouted to a waiting area where they will have to register before they can proceed to the vaccination area. More than 13,000 people had already pre-registered by Sunday morning, Tippin said. Quote, if you pre-register, it only takes a couple minutes to get your shot, Tippin said. Those who don't pre-register are redirected to another area when they arrive, and it takes them at least 20 minutes to get through the pre-registration process, end quote. Healthcare officials had requested that healthy individuals wait a few days before seeking the vaccine to allow frontline workers, the elderly, and others who are most at risk to get vaccinated first. Clearly, that wasn't the case on Sunday, Tippin and Huber said. Quote, we won't turn anyone away, Tippin said, but we're still asking the public to allow the most vulnerable to get vaccinated first, end quote. To speed up the vaccination process, Tippin said people should bring a driver's license or other form of ID so that workers can more quickly make sure they are already registered. Residents should also wear short-sleeve shirts so that shots can be easily administered on the shoulder. For safety reasons, law enforcement does not want people waiting in line to get out of their vehicles, Huber and Tippin said. People should go to the bathroom before they leave home because there are very few portable restrooms available. Quote, we know people love their pets, but please leave them at home, Tippin said. We saw too many people letting their dogs out of their vehicles to go to the bathroom. That just creates a whole other set of problems, end quote. Huber said, quote, overall, traffic was running smoothly on Sunday. He noted there were a few problems. One vehicle stopped working and briefly slowed traffic. A couple of vehicles ran out of gas while in line, and a few people had to get out of line because their vehicles were running low on gas. National Blood Donor Month. This was written by Carol Cates, Chief Nursing Officer for Odessa Regional Medical Center. I have had a pretty cool nursing career. I've gotten to do many things most people never even dream of as a nurse. But of all the exciting stuff I have done, travel, research, speaking at national conferences, To me, the best thing is the most basic thing that nurses do, taking care of patients. To quote one of my favorite nursing authorities, Jean Watson, I have had the joy and privilege of taking care of others when they are at their most vulnerable. Jean Watson's words were meant for nursing, but I would like to think she also went straight to the heart of what makes humans, not just nurses, special. Most people care about what happens to others, especially when others are vulnerable. The problem is sometimes it's hard to know how to show that caring in more than words. One of the best ways that many people can do to help those that are vulnerable is to donate blood. January is National Blood Donor Month. It was developed for two reasons. First, to recognize the special people who donate blood and blood products on a regular basis to help others. And second, to encourage people to donate, especially after the holidays. According to the American Red Cross, in the U.S., over 13,000 donations are needed every day to make sure we have enough blood and blood products on hand to care for those who need blood. After the holidays, however, blood donations across the U.S. drop dramatically. It's likely due to several reasons: busy schedules and catching up after the holidays, winter illness and winter weather, which means fewer blood drives and difficult travel for those that donate at blood banks. The American Red Cross estimates that about 38% of the U.S. population can donate blood, but less than 10% donate. Donation criteria are based largely on the type of blood product donated. Whole blood can only be donated every 56 days or 6 to 7 times a year. People donating must be in good health and feeling well. In most states, donors must be at least 16 years of age, and donors must weigh at least 110 pounds. There is no open age limit. You are never too old to donate if you meet criteria for weight and health. Another type of donation is called power red. This is when the person donates mostly red blood cells and less of the other types of blood products. That donation type is less frequent, only every 112 days or 3 times a year. Again, the person must be in good health and feeling well. Male power donors must be at least 17 in most states and must be at least 5'1" and weigh 130 pounds. Female donors must be at least 19 years old in most states, at least 5 feet 5 inches tall, and weigh at least 150 pounds. I am sure that you are wondering why the difference between that and whole blood, and why the differences between men and women. It has to do with the amount of red blood cells people can safely spare, and because of menses, women have less ability to absorb a big loss of red blood cells, so they need to basically have a bigger blood volume, hence the taller and more weight, to have the same level of safety. Platelet donation, another cell in blood, one that helps the blood clot, can be quite frequent, as much as every 7 days or up to 24 times a year. Good health and feeling well also is required for platelet donation, and most states require platelet donors to be at least 17, and the donor must weigh at least 110 pounds. The last type of blood product is AB Elite plasma donation. This is to donate plasma, the liquid part of the blood, for the rarest of blood types, type AB. Donations can happen every 28 days. The donor must be in good health and feeling well. They must be 17 years old and weigh 110 pounds, but most importantly, they must have AB type blood. Here in the Permian Basin, our blood bank is through an organization called Vitalant. Having worked with this organization for many years, I can tell you they do a wonderful job making sure the people in West Texas have blood when it is needed. But they cannot do their vital work without donors. Please consider reaching out to Vitalant for donating blood or blood products this month, and continue to donate regularly throughout the year. You can find out much more about donating locally on the Vitalant website at www.vitalant.com. Vitalant.org.
This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 25th, 2021. Section A, page 7. OPD investigating fatal crash. OA News at OAOA.com. An Odessa man is dead following a major crash that occurred early this morning in northeast Odessa. On January 24th, 2021, at approximately 1:48 a.m., Odessa police responded to 42nd Street and Preston Smith in reference to a major crash. Investigation revealed that a gray 2006 Ford F-250 being operated by Roger DeLeon, 35 years of age, of Odessa, was traveling eastbound on 42nd Street and struck the center divider between Preston Smith Boulevard and East Loop 338. DeLeon was pronounced deceased on scene, and next of kin have been notified. Alcohol was a possible factor, and the investigation continues. Odessa American, Monday, January 25th, 2021, Section A, page 3. Shrimp Fest virtual fundraiser. OA News at OAOA.com. The Illinois Art Museum is postponing 35th Annual Shrimp Fest until 2022, citing safety concerns. Instead, Shrimp Fest will host a virtual fundraiser that will feature a silent auction and raffle. As a nonprofit organization, the Ellen Noel Art Museum relies on fundraisers like Shrimp Fest to help supplement the funding it receives through donations, memberships, and grants, news release stated. All profits from this event help the museum to continue important programs like Art to Go for second graders who do not have art in school, free community art days with activities for all ages, and Fine Arts Connection third grade field trips. The museum is also able to bring in exhibitions like Betrothed, 250 Years of Wedding Fashion, which is currently on display and gives the public access to these exhibitions at no cost. Enter to win a new purse of your choosing or a gift card to Brush Mountain Outfitters. Raffle tickets can be purchased by contacting CEC at noelartmuseum.org, calling 432-550-9696, extension 211, or visiting noelartmuseum.org/shrimpfest. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 25th, 2021. Death Notices. Santos Martinez Gutierrez, Odessa. Santos Martinez Gutierrez, 62, died Wednesday, January 20th, 2021 in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Juan El Ice Cube Lara Jr., Odessa. Juan El Ice Cube Lara Jr., 56, of Odessa, died Wednesday, January 12th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Wednesday, January 27th, 2021, at St. Anthony Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jack Lawrence Melvin, Odessa. Jack Lawrence Melvin, 40, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m., January 27th, 2021, at Hillcrest Cemetery in Fort Davis. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Arthur Wayne Williamson, Odessa. Arthur Wayne Williamson, 57, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 21st, 2021, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m., Saturday, January 30th, 2021, at West Odessa First Baptist Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, January 23rd, 2021. Section A. New UTPB official is a graduate, by Ruth Campbell. In a way, Richard Ortiz's military service led him to college and his current position as coordinator of veteran and foster alumni services, school certifying official at the University of Texas Permian Basin. Ortiz, who is from Midland, graduated from Midland High School in 2002. He was in the Marine Corps from 2002 to 2006. He was stationed in New Orleans for 3 years and 1 year at various bases in California. He did communications and a lot of information technology work in the Marines. I was sitting in the mall waiting for the Sam Goody Music Store to open, and the recruiting office had a poster of a Marine wearing his dress blue uniform, Ortiz recalled. I thought it was really cool, and I was like, I want to be like that guy. On a whim, I just went in and signed up. They were trying to be persuasive, and I was not ready to hear that. I just wanted them to give me the paperwork so I could sign in, and that's what I did. It was pretty spontaneous. Ortiz said his military service was good, and he would do it again if he had to. He said his service exposed him to other parts of the world and other cultures that have helped shape him, on top of what he grew up with. I think now I can relate to more people, which has served me well in my previous jobs and what I'm doing now especially, Ortiz said. He earned his bachelor's degree in marketing from UTPB in spring 2020. He dropped out of college in 2007-08 to pursue a dance career, and he was distracted. He taught at Love to Dance Studio in Odessa and knows 22 different styles of dance. I was dancing pretty much for the rest of the time professionally up until 2018 when I came back to finish. I had a car accident where I got hit by two cars, Ortiz said. It made me reconsider the fact that I might not be able to walk or use my body in some way, so maybe dancing wasn't going to be the best option moving forward. I came back to school, finished my bachelor's in marketing, and graduated spring of 2020. He was planning to attend school full-time and finish his master's in business administration when I was actually just go to school full-time and also focus on my master's. The Associate Dean of Students and Deputy Title IX Coordinator, Corey Benson, asked what his future plans were. Ortiz said he planned to stay in town, and Benson told him the Coordinator of Veteran and Foster Alumni Services School Certifying Official was open. The job mainly focuses on students, veterans and students who grew up in foster care, so my title is Coordinator of Veteran and Foster Alumni Services. Basically, the main portion of my job involves helping these students understand and utilize their benefits. Military veterans have educational benefits that will pay for their tuition. Sometimes it will waive their tuition. Foster kids have similar programs that will waive their tuition, Ortiz said. The thing is, most students don't fully understand that they have these benefits or how to use them, and if they do, they don't know how to maximize them. Many of them are also first-generation students in this area, so if they look at it in a bubble or a vacuum, they get a small picture. But when they realize how those benefits work with financial aid or work with other services that we have at the school, they can be very fruitful, Ortiz said. He added that the benefits can allow them to go to school without working. If someone who is trying to figure what their future career might be, or if they know it, there's a lot of programs that look for students who are veterans, who are going into specific career paths. These students may also not know these things, so apart from their benefits, I serve as a liaison to the outside community, looking for potential partners who are willing to help veterans and foster students, Ortiz said. He noted that some veterans and foster children may not want to self-identify as such, so it's hard to let them know they have these benefits. Currently, he has about 120 active veterans in the program and about 10 foster youth. Working at the university he graduated from has been nice, Ortiz said. I already had an affinity for doing stuff here on campus. As an undergrad, I was in student government. We made what I feel was a significant impact on campus, and during that process, I got to work with other students, the faculty and staff, and I got to learn about the university and how certain things function, what things can be done to make a better change for the students. Benson said Ortiz was the keynote speaker for the 2019 Veterans Day commemoration at UTPB. His remarks encouraged his peers to relentlessly pursue their goals and do so in the service of others, to become heroes in their own communities, which I believe is what Richard has done. As a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, Richard served as a network administrator from June 2002 to June 2006. In recognition of his quick, decisive, and skillful planning to ensure minimal communication downtime to over 450 other units across the world during Hurricane Katrina, Richard was nominated for a Navy Achievement Medal. He has served the communities in which he has lived in myriad ways through service with community and civic organizations, including Lake County Schools, CBC Community-Based Care, Central Florida, USA Dance Orlando, West Texas Crisis Center, Keep Odessa Beautiful, Hope and Help Center, Benson said in an email. Initially, Ortiz wanted to go for his MBA because he was thinking about starting or running a business. The other aspect was that earning a master's would mean more money for most jobs. But when I got offered this job, it kind of changed a little bit because what I'm doing right now I feel like is a very meaningful job, Ortiz said. In many ways, I'm using my degree. So far, Ortiz said he is enjoying higher education and wants to stay in it. And having gone to UTPB, he knows some of his colleagues. Most departments have been willing to work with him. It's been refreshing for myself and them as well, because they usually vocalize with me that it hasn't been as common to see someone approach them. It's been exciting, and I've definitely made a lot of good partnerships here at the school, Ortiz added. He said he's looking for partnerships with organizations that offer services to foster youth and veterans. He would also like to see a scholarship fund for veterans who are transitioning to civilian life. I'm always looking for external partners who are willing to help our veterans. And hopefully in the next year or two, it'd be nice to be able to set up an endowment that would be able to take care of all that automatically moving forward, Ortiz said. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 24th, 2021. Section A. Mexico native making a difference. Nieto spreading the word for Odessans in Spanish. By Federico Martinez. By her own admission, she was born of humble beginnings. Magali Nieto was one of eight siblings born and raised on a small farm in El Pueblito, Mexico, a small town, population 300, located in the state of Chihuahua. The family was so poor, Nieto's mother, Terry Nieto, would make her daughter dresses out of curtains. In 1995, I was 15 years old when I moved to Odessa to live with some of my brothers, said Nieto, the only female sibling in the family. I wanted to become an attorney so that I could go back to Mexico and help and represent the Spanish-speaking community. She never became an attorney, but Magali is accomplishing the same goal as a communications specialist for the city of Odessa. She was initially hired in March 2020 to help the city spread COVID-19 related information to the Spanish-speaking community, City Manager Michael Morero said. As COVID became more of a concern, we realized there was a significant gap in our ability to reach the Spanish-speaking community, Morero said. We realized that we had a large Spanish-speaking community, but COVID really brought that to the forefront. At the recommendation of Devin Sanchez, the city's director of communications, Marrero hired Nieto. Nieto previously worked as a scriptwriter, news anchor, field reporter, and producer for CBS7 and Telemundo, the largest Spanish-language network in the world. She brought a wealth of experience and skills with her, including an ability to produce professional videos. She has a pretty good grasp of media and public speaking, Marrero said. She also has a long history in the community and has the language skills to articulate information to residents in a way they can relate to. They trust her. Nieto is quick to point out that she doesn't call herself a translator. A translator is someone who just changes words from one language to another, she notes. I'm not just a translator. I pass along the information, the message, in Spanish. The difference may initially seem slight, but it is significant. Some English words don't translate to any words in Spanish, Nieto said. In many cases, English words or phrases, when translated, come across as harsher or have a completely different meaning. I was born in Mexico and I understand the culture, Nieto said. I know how many Spanish-speaking people speak. They don't use big words or slang. What it really boils down to, though, is Spanish-speaking people, especially those from Mexico, relate to her. She credits her success to her mother's creativity and the perseverance of her father, Antonio Tono Nieto. In Mexico, only elementary school is free, she said. My father had to work very hard to put my brothers and me through school. My mother is the creative one. When I was young and there was a dance or a party, she would make me dresses out of curtains. Magali didn't realize that until one day she was looking at photos. One picture showed her standing next to a pair of hanging window curtains. Another picture showed Magali in a dress that was the same color as the curtains, but in that photo, the window behind her was missing its curtains. Mom, did you? Magali started to ask. But her mother just smiled and shrugged her shoulders. That memory returned after Magali was hired by the city and noticed there was no green screen to record videos. She thought of her mom and went to the store and bought a large amount of green paper to make her own screen. I had a humble beginning, but I'm really proud of it, Magali said. My parents both taught me well. In her role with the city, Magali produces Spanish-language videos and recordings that are posted on her own Facebook page, Magali Nieto, City of Odessa. She also provides those videos, recordings, and written content to Spanish-language media. Getting information to the Spanish-speaking community isn't easy, she admits. Many adults aren't familiar with social media platforms like Facebook or the Internet, and don't trust the government. Many people don't visit the City of Odessa website because they figure everything is written in English, even though Spanish language information is also on the site. Many people just call or email me for information because that's the way they're used to getting it, Magali said. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Elliptical or treadmill. Dear Dr. Roach, if I have the beginnings of arthritis of the knee, is an elliptical machine better to use than a treadmill? MD. Answer. If you had an inflammatory arthritis like rheumatoid arthritis, there are powerful medicines that can dramatically slow or stop progression of the disease. So I'm going to assume you have osteoarthritis, which is by far the most common arthritis of the knee. No treatment is known to stop the progression of osteoarthritis, but exercise is one of the most effective treatments to reduce pain and especially to increase function. This is counterintuitive to many people. Even many doctors are loath to prescribe exercise because for years osteoarthritis was considered a wear and tear injury of the joint. Research shows this is not to be the case. Although joint injury can lead to development of osteoarthritis, regular exercise does not. Many studies have shown that a graded exercise program, starting slow and easy and gradually building up, can lead to better function and endurance. Unfortunately, many people with severe osteoarthritis have such pain that exercise seems impossible. People write to me that they just can't do any exercise, and indeed, it can get to the point where any movement is so painful that joint replacement becomes the only viable option. But for people with early arthritis like you, and even moderate arthritis, exercise is a powerful tool.
Mrs. K, reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 25th, 2021, etc. Mom can't reconcile son's remarriage after his affair. Dear Abby, my son had a year-long affair with his wife's best friend, which started when the two families took vacations together. My husband and I have always been close to our daughter-in-law and our grandchildren, ages 6 and 10, as well as our son. The divorces are final now, and the lovers are married. Abby, we can't stand the new wife. We abhor the deceit, the betrayal, and the pain she and our son have caused. Now he is demanding that we accept her. We don't want to abandon our daughter-in-law, and I can't bear the thought of her and our grandchildren's inheritance going to the new wife. Also, I am so furious with my son for this selfish, egregious act, and I don't even like seeing him. I don't know what to do. Any advice? Mother of a cheater. Dear Mother, depending upon the child custody arrangement between your son and his ex-wife, you may not have to spend much time with the happy newlyweds. Because you love your former daughter-in-law, see her as often as you wish and include her in celebrations. Refrain from acting out in anger. Be polite to your son's new wife. Say nothing you might later regret. You do not have to love or even like the woman. As to what happens to your estate in the event of your and your husband's death, this is a discussion you should have with your lawyer. You are under no obligation to reward your son and the new Mrs., especially if you prefer to arrange for your grandchildren and the daughter-in-law you loved to have those assets. Dear Abby, after living with my husband's gradual hearing loss for several years and his refusal to get hearing aids, I finally asked him to get them as a birthday gift to me. He agreed, and I expected that he would wear them once he got them. When he does, it greatly improves his hearing. Instances of my having to repeat myself diminish noticeably. But he seldom wears them when he's at home with me. I mentioned to him several times how important it was to me, then gave up. I managed to deal with it until the pandemic forced us to stay home so much of the time. I brought it up again recently, referencing the stay-at-home order and how much I would appreciate his wearing them, but he still wears them only occasionally. I feel disrespected because he isn't willing to do this small thing to make both our lives easier during this period of confinement. How do you suggest I explain this to him so he hears me? Still frustrated in California. Dear Still Frustrated, this may not be a matter of your husband tuning you out. Have you asked him why he doesn't wear the hearing aids? Could it be they are uncomfortable and need adjusting? Is inserting the batteries difficult because they are so tiny? Is he bothered by the amplified background noise? Once you know why he is resistant, you can consult the doctor who prescribed the devices. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren. Write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Monday, January 25th, 2021. Highly sensitive, talented, and fascinating, you lead a difficult but interesting and rewarding life. This year, you meet challenges head-on, stay stable, and encounter great success. Your fortunes rise again in 2022. If single, relationships are in upheaval, and when you do commit, it's an achievement. You meet your soulmate in June. It takes time. If attached, you're happiest with each other. Scorpio lets you in, eventually. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 3 stars. An unusual person becomes visible in your neighborhood. Good or bad neighbors aren't quite as they appear. You'll have an opportunity to reevaluate the accuracy of your first impressions and satisfy the need to get both sides of every story. Tonight, catching up with work. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. Today encourages you to examine what material possessions and wealth really mean. There is an urge to acquire new belongings and to discard those that are outdated and superfluous. Treasure and appreciate what really matters and let go of the rest. Tonight, relief. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 5 stars. Your passion for everything from love to work to social concerns will be expressed dramatically today. Your capacity for effective action will astound and amaze. The winter months are about the proper use of this power. Tonight, you're driven to explore new planes of expression. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Your perpetually active inner life becomes more colorful and vivid while you shun fanfare outwardly. It will surprise you if friends and relatives born under air signs accuse you of withholding information. Tonight, you'll satiate their curiosity and still be discreet. Leo, July 25th through August 22nd, 5 stars. You will be motivated and encouraged by positive, productive friends today. Involvement with organizations and worthwhile causes or political issues adds new meaning to your life. Tonight, your dream time helps you recognize long-range goals and select the proper group affiliations. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 5 stars. You question authority today and become more vocal and visible at work. Extra effort and attention to detail make the recognition positive. Sentiment is replaced by an affinity for all that is contemporary and progressive. Tonight, mastering new techniques and technologies helps you move forward. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 5 stars. Your intellectual horizons widen through exposure to publications or other learning experiences. An email or call from afar suggests a worthwhile idea. Entries made in your journal will prove therapeutic and valuable when reviewed in the future. Tonight, welcome new opportunities. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 2 stars. Resist temptation. Seek fulfillment of wholesome desires. The positive and negative potentials of passions of every kind are evident today. Pursue expression through the spoken or written word, but be careful when writing to someone in particular. Tonight, relax. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 2 stars. Letting go of a destructive love that doesn't bring you joy is often a prelude to finding true happiness. You must be careful of involvement in love triangles today or association with those who have addictive tendencies. Tonight, talk it over with a trusted friend. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 3 stars. The knees, skin, and teeth tend to be vulnerable for Capricorn. Plenty of calcium in your diet is a must. Sage, which has an association with longevity and wisdom, as well as purification, is the ideal herbal tea. Tonight, be gentle and good to yourself. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 4 stars. Friends include you in projects that combine pleasure with serious work. You have the opportunity to become more active in a worthwhile organization. Leisure pursuits will be stimulating mentally as well as physically. Tonight, feeling well and an awakening of the senses. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 4 stars. Balance sentiment and affection with humor and regard for the individual growth and goals of loved ones. It's easy to be a little too protective and generous today. Add music or a new piece of art to your home. Tonight, a relaxing herbal soak.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.